There'll be no more singing. Yeah. Micah 5:2, it says, "But as for you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you will one go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from days of eternity." And this was a prophecy that was made about the coming Messiah. Again, it was made over 700 years before he came. And there are basically four categories of revelation that emerge from this text. And they can help us, they really do help us worship and can understand the glories of the one who was to come. And we'll look at the time we have, it's going to be rather quickly, but we'll look at the birthplace, the rule, the sending, and then the eternality of the king. And you know that at about this time, the northern kingdom was about to fall. Assyria, that great world empire, that is when Micah began his ministry. Now, his ministry focused on the southern kingdom. You remember Isaiah, who's a contemporary of Isaiah. Isaiah preached to the in the court and to the nobles, and Micah was a prophet who spoke to the common people like me. You know, he just spoke to the you and me kind of everyday people. And the reign of Ahaz had really decimated the country. It brought a lot of spiritual decay to the country, and it was filled with lethargy. It was filled with apathy, idolatry, apostasy. In fact, in Micah 6:8, he reminds him of what the Lord would require of them. And how many of you know, probably sing this song, Micah 6:8, "He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what the Lord require, and what doth," I guess that's the way "but what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." But they did none of that at this time in history, and Judah was very, very prosperous at this time. Their culture was marked by being very affluent, and they were perceived around the world to be basically militarily invincible, and at least that's what they thought about themselves. They were convinced that they were blessed by God, but their outwardness, everything that was prosperous about them, concealed what was inside, that they were bankrupt, that they were wicked. In Isaiah 5, Isaiah gives us a very graphic description of their corruption. And by the way, it's a good description of someplace. United States. It's very similar. And Judah was characterized in Isaiah 5 as being a country that is basically ruled by materialism, idolatry, debauchery, drunkenness, a lot of problems that it had. And they had called good evil and evil good. And the judicial system was corrupt. And they embraced religious syncretism. They were involved in pouring all the religions and mixing them together. And again, it's a lot like today. And so Micah means "who is like the Lord." And Micah, in chapter 5 here, in verse 1, back up a verse, Micah says, "Now muster yourselves in troops, daughter of troops. They have laid siege against us with a rod. They will smite the judge of Israel on the cheek." Now, is Syria was immediate threat because of what was going on in the northern kingdom, but eventually in 2 Kings we read that the southern kingdom would fall in 586 BC. And you know, at that time, the Babylonians came in. They laid siege to Jerusalem. And they captured King Zedekiah, who they had all of his sons, and they were killed before the king, and then the king's eyes were put out, and then he was taken in bronze fetters to Babylon. So this was Micah's inspired prophecy of impending doom that was going to come upon them because of their sin and the judgment that would follow. But it was followed by there's always a message of hope, a message of hope, a promise of future blessing, a promise of God's faithfulness. And I think of today, you know, we have hope today of a future hope. We could say that, what are some of the verses of hope? What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Or we're looking for the blessed hope. We're awaiting Jesus Christ coming back. But so with that as a background, let's think about the text here for a minute. It says, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little among the clans of Judah, from you will go forth for me, one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel." And, you know, it's like, "But as for you, Bethlehem," where's Bethlehem? Oh, Ephratah, where's Ephratah? What are you talking about? "Well, too little to be among the little clans of Judah." Okay, it's a small, insignificant place. And this is a place. And the "but" is a term of contrast. And this great, great, you know, daughter of troops, that's Jerusalem, it's contrasted with little Bethlehem. Bethlehem meaning house of bread. And they're contrasting Judah's last king Zedekiah, with the greatest ruler that would ever come, Jesus Christ, who's going to be from the lion from the tribe of Judah. So Micah's referring to Bethlehem, where David was born. And from this little insignificant place, too little to be among the clans of Judah, one is going to be born who seemingly cares for insignificant things and insignificant people like you and me. And so it's interesting, you know, people talk about this. Why would Jesus Christ be born in a place like Bethlehem? Why would the incarnate king be born in such a insignificant, out-of-the-way place? Why not Jerusalem? Surely if he's a king, or why not Rome? Bethlehem, just to the south of Bethlehem, is the Herodium, you know, that fortress. One of the fortresses that King Herod built. He was a very paranoid person. He built fortresses in the east and the south and the north. But the Herodium, he built Masada. He built this place that he could flee to if anyone was coming after him. It was in the shadow of that Herodium. And but why not Jerusalem? Well, there's a couple of reasons. One, because Bethlehem was a royal city of ancient days. Jesus was born the King of Israel, and it's only fitting that he be born in the city where David was born, the king. And he was promised that this would be an eternal kingdom whereby the whole world would be blessed through the coming seed of David. So it was given to, you know, to for the part of that reason. And then it's also Bethlehem, its history is a picture of the coming of Messiah. It's interesting, you know, we've studied, you know, Ruth and some of the things that were associated with that. But the word Bethlehem, I mentioned that it meant house of bread, but it could also mean house of fighting or house of war. It kind of both meanings can be Beth, house, and Lechem is a house of or a place of fighting and war. And you think about the symbolism, we know that Christ was to be the bread of life. He, in many ways, John 6, he was the bread of heaven, like the manna that came down the wilderness. And but Bethlehem also can mean fighting and war. And it reminds you that Christ came and he said, I've come to you know, be a, drive a sword into the hearts of many. And so, and he was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. So, so he's saying that this province or this place, it's not even large enough to be one province. It's a place of insignificance. But one is going to go forth from me to be ruler in Israel. And secondly, he says, from you, that is God the Son, from you one, God the Son, will go forth from me, that's God the Father. It's God the Father that's speaking. So from Bethlehem will go forth Christ. And also, let's just move on to the rule of the king. You know, we're told that one would go forth to be ruler in Israel. It might be easy to think, well, what a failure that was. He was rejected. Didn't pan out very good. He came to his own. We're told in John 1, he came to his own, did not receive him. They crucified their king. And it was true that Jesus came preaching and telling people about the kingdom of God. He came to the Jew first, to the lost sheep of Israel. But it's, you know, and he was rejected, but it's untrue to say that he's not going to fulfill everything that he said he's going to fulfill. And there's a lot we could say about that, but Peter spoke about this. He said in Acts 2, we've been studying Acts, men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, this man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross, by the hands of godless men and put him to death. And what escapes the person who would be criticizing Christianity seemed like a failure. Christ, he was first promised to be the Passover lamb, right? Christ was promised to be the Passover lamb, and he would come and he would make atonement for the sins of the people. So from the beginning of his earthly ministry, the Savior, King, preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And it was Pilate who said, remember when he, on one of his trials, "So you are a king." And what did Jesus say? "Well, you say correctly, I am a king. For this I've been born. For this I've come into the world to bear witness to the truth." And John the Baptist, he also said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And, but we put it all together, and we don't have time to look at this all, but it's going to be the Lamb of God who breaks these seals in the book of Revelation. And he is the one, the only one that is found worthy to open the seals of judgment. And he'll make war with the wicked, and he'll overcome. And we know that ultimately this Lamb will be the one who illumines all of Jerusalem. And then finally, let's look at the eternality of the king. And he says his goings forth are from long ago, from days of eternity. This is really a fascinating picture to look at, but the Messiah is revealed as is from eternity past, and it'll go all the way to eternity future. And that means, I mean, it means from the very beginning he's there, all the way into the millennial reign, an eternal state. His goings forth are from long ago. And Scripture bears out this truth. I'll give some examples quickly. And we see how the pre-incarnate Christ appeared at different times throughout the Old Testament on several occasions as the angel of the Lord. And what are some of them? Maybe I'll just ask you if you remember some. I'm thinking the first one, Genesis 16, where Hagar fled into the desert. And remember, she said, "Bir Laharoi," the well of the God who sees. God sees me. There's Genesis 18. He appeared to Abraham the whole. He was visited and he showed hospitality to these men who came, which they weren't men at all. And Sarah was promised to have a son. There's Genesis 31, where he appeared to Jacob in a dream. Chapters 32, especially 32, I think Jacob was 97 years old then, and he wrestled with a man until daybreak. And we believe that to be a Christophany. And he was, and the Lord blessed him and changed his name to Israel. Exodus 3, the appearance in a burning bush. There's Joshua 5. He appeared to Joshua with a sword drawn in his hand. Judges chapter 6, Gideon, what's Gideon doing? He's down. He's in a wine press. He's hiding. He's threshing wheat. And what does... Hail, valiant warrior. I'd be looking around. It's talking to me. There's Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Or as Tony Evans, he was preaching once in our chapel, the school. He said, "That's Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro." I guess he could get away with that. But they were...
I remember that one.
Yeah. And Nebuchadnezzar came over, and he looked in, and there appeared to be... Yeah, it's like somebody else. Appeared to be as the Son of God. And so... And this is what, it's precisely what Micah goes on to prophesy in verse 4. There we read, "And he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth." This one will be our peace. So we kind of rushed over those verses, but Jesus Christ is a Savior and King. And someday he's going to be many people's condemning judge. And so we need to be rightly related to him. Yes. And it's a wonderful time of year to just ponder and contemplate all of these truths. And this was 700 years before he ever came into this world. Micah prophesied that the Lord would come. So, are there any comments or anything you want to...